So although I was planning on doing an episode on ADHD and treatments, etc., which I will do, I feel the need to talk about my autoimmune disorders because there's been a couple of instances recently where it's really been negatively affecting my life, not just my symptoms, but how it has affected my friendships and my interactions with the people I care about. And so I want this episode to be dedicated to trying to explain what it's like to live with autoimmune disorders. Not everyone has the same experiences. I unfortunately have been hit very hard. I have several of them, and each of them are pretty significant in terms of how they affect my life, how the symptoms are. They're very pervasive and prevalent and somewhat relentless, I'll just say. In addition to that, as I've said before, I take medications to try to suppress my immune system because, as I've said, autoimmune disorders essentially are just an overactive immune system attacking your own body because it thinks it's the enemy. And the expression of that attacking is whatever the symptoms are. So, for example, my vitiligo, which is the loss of pigment, is my body attacking the pigment of my skin, which turns it from being pretty dark. You've seen pictures of me, but I'm pretty dark skinned, to white. Because when you have no pigment, you're literally like white, and that has spread recently. So just to sort of summarize the autoimmune disorders, but then to get into the real meat of this discussion, which is the emotional effects of all of this, which I'm feeling very hard recently. And I was just crying, which is why I sound this way. But it started with Hashimoto's, which is my thyroid gland. So basically my thyroiditis is essentially thyroglobulins. So my own body is attacking my thyroid gland. I literally have a shriveled up thyroid gland, which is of no use. So I take synthetic hormone replacement, basically, which is Synthroid. And that has made my thyroid work, or at least look like it works in labs. Whether or not it really is working to a full extent, I don't think so, because I recently had some lab tests done, and it showed very high thyroid globulins, which are the attacking of the thyroid, which essentially shows thyroiditis, which is inflammation of my thyroid gland. So that, for some reason, is in a flare-up. Then, after that, I had vitiligo. Vitiligo is, again, when your pigment, your skin, is being attacked and you lose pigment. Again, that started around 28 or so, late 20s, and spread from there. And it goes through phases, but right now I'm again in a phase where my vitiligo is spreading. Then, also, as you can imagine, that is very traumatic when you first starts happening, because it's your face. I mean, it was on my face, my hands, my feet, and it's embarrassing. It's hard to kind of be able to see people you know and, you know, it's like the white elephant in the room. You either have to approach it and explain it to everyone, or you have to ignore it and people talk behind your back, basically. And then strangers is even weirder, because they will whisper behind your back and they will stare. And I work with kids, which is a whole nother thing, because, as you know, kids say whatever is on their mind. So I've had to deal with that. I've had to deal with mean things that kids say, and you just have to be strong. And all I can do is explain to the kids as best I can in their level of, you know, knowledge or ability to understand. And it's fine. Usually the parents help me. But it hurts. All of that hurts. And it's very hard when it's something superficial like that. But most autoimmune disorders are not superficial. They're not even seen by the eye of the other person. So they're essentially invisible. That's why they call many of this invisible chronic illness, because to other people, they can't tell. So basically you're suffering in a sense in silence, because no one would know. And I'm very good at acting like nothing's wrong, at playing the part at work, because I have to. And I'm even learning very well to play the part with my friends and family, because if you don't, you are not accepted in a sense, because no one wants to deal with someone who's suffering. They just want everything to be fine. And I've learned that the hard way. Even though my father has autoimmune disorders himself, it's still hard to be completely honest about how I'm feeling, because really no one wants to hear it. If you think about it, people just want to pretend everything's fine. They just want to be superficial and deal with their own shit. That's how it is. Now, after the vitiligo, I dealt with, what was after that? I don't know. I always forget the order because there's so many. Essentially, I dealt with Sjogren's in 2018 when my eyes went dry and everything started drying up. I started having mouth sores and deafening fatigue you cannot even explain. So when people say I'm so tired, it's not the same. This type of tired is like you're half dead or half alive, however you want to look at it. So that started happening summer of 2018, and that's when I got the Sjogren's diagnosis. What Sjogren's is when your body attacks salivary glands, so anything water producing, eyes, mouth. More than that, as you can imagine, you know, genitals. It also, because all of these are central nervous system related, that's why there's fatigue associated. And they're all called kind of connective tissue disorders. I'm not exactly sure why, but they are. So I think because it does have to do with, I don't know, there's an explanation, I just can't think of it right now. That summer, after I was treated for the Sjogren's, which was Plaquenil, actually, which is the medication, hydrochloroquine, that Trump pushed so hard to say was the cure for COVID. Anyways, some people are familiar with that. So I started taking Plaquenil and prednisone, which is a steroid. And I had been on prednisone in the past because I had two rounds of chronic hives, hives that lasted 3 to 4 months each time. And they were not just hives. They were like severe hives all over my body. I wish I could show you a picture. And severe edema in my face and other parts of my body. But for some reason, my face was like largely affected. I looked like the Elephant Man. It was scary. And I continued to go to work because, again, I'm really good at playing the part, but I probably shouldn't have, because even my boss at the time was like, I don't know if you should be here, because I think I was scaring people with the way I looked. So because of that, I was given a lot of steroids, and that made them go away. Because as you know, steroids suppress the immune system. So because your body's overly attacking or hyperactive, the steroids suppress it, so it calms your body down. That's why steroids are so important during autoimmune flare-ups. But at this time in 2018, because everything was so severe, I essentially went on prednisone and stayed on it, and I was on a low-dose prednisone and continued to be. And as a result, I am immunosuppressed, as well as having an overactive immune system. It's a little bit confusing. Then, as I've also explained in a previous episode, that that was originally in June is when I got the Sjogren's diagnosis and started the Plaquenil and prednisone. And then in December, I got the lupus diagnosis, because I think you have to get eight out of 14 symptoms. And the last symptom that I guess they were waiting on, or that they assumed I would get, would be pain in the joints. And sure enough, I went on a trip to Palm Springs with my mom and my sister, and I couldn't move my hands or my feet. I couldn't like close my hands. They were so inflamed and swollen and tender and in pain and painful. So that's when I went back. I saw the doctor and he gave me the lupus diagnosis. So at that point, I had Hashimoto's, vitiligo, Sjogren's, and lupus. And following that, which I probably already had, was adrenal insufficiency. And essentially, my adrenal glands are not working properly, if at all. I actually had like no working function of my adrenal glands in the last time I took labs. Adrenals, as some of you know, is essential in so many processes of your body. They work with fight or flight. So if you're in like danger, that's where your adrenaline obviously comes into place. So I have to wear a medical alert bracelet, because again, I've said in previous episodes, but I don't want to assume people have listened to previous episodes. The paramedics will look at the medical alert bracelet and know that I have adrenal insufficiency, and they'll know to shoot me up with high doses of steroids in order to survive. Because if any of us are in a life-threatening situation, if our adrenaline isn't skyrocketing, then you could go into shock and die. So that's why I wear the medical alert bracelet. As a result of the adrenal insufficiency, even though I'm being treated with prednisone, I feel half dead or half alive. Again, however you want to think of it. I have the fatigue like no other. I do take medication to try to kind of combat it, which does work, but it only works short periods of time, and it's only a Band-Aid. My adrenals still don't work no matter what. So it's scary, because I tried to go off. When I found this out about the adrenal insufficiency, which was in December of last year, I freaked out and I wanted to go off the prednisone, because they think the prednisone induced it. Although I'm not positive, because I did test positive for the marker for Addison's disease. Addison's disease is an autoimmune condition that you can tell from a blood test, and I tested positive like a couple years ago. And basically at the time I wasn't having symptoms, so they said, you know, we'll wait till you have symptoms before giving you the diagnosis. So here I am, fast forward a couple years, and I obviously have the symptoms, but they still felt it was induced by the prednisone and not by the Addison's. I don't know why for sure, but that's what they think. I guess Addison's is very rare. But again, I don't know why, because I do have the marker for it. So it could be Addison's, it could be prednisone induced, I don't know. But either way, my adrenals don't work. And that's why they wanted to stop the prednisone. And I attempted to. I did a taper. I got halfway through it and I was having horrible withdrawals. Not even withdrawals, but just my symptoms. You know, it's like you never know if something's working until you stop it. And I think because I stopped it or was halfway through the stop, I many of my symptoms came back, and I was just in so much pain and I didn't feel well. And so I think at that point I realized that I needed the prednisone. So I went back on it. Again, it's a low dose, 5 milligrams. And I just figured, what the hell, I might as well feel a little bit better than I do and not put myself through any more suffering to try to get through a taper just for potential, long-term effects of prednisone, which are not great, to be honest. You don't want to take prednisone for a long time, but also I didn't know what else to do. So the taper is something I still want to consider in the future, but at this point, I just needed to feel okay, especially with the adrenals. You have to be very careful with that, like I said. And I do have a pretty demanding full-time job, so I'm juggling a lot. I'm not married. I don't have children, but I'm juggling a lot just with my job alone. And so to be able to handle it and to be able to, like, you know, not completely get fired, I have to be able to function. So I need these medications to get through my days, and it sucks. Because I would love to go off the prednisone and see if my adrenals can kick in on their own. And the longer I'm on the prednisone, the less chance that that will happen. So I don't know. I think the only way I can do that is if I take, like, a full sabbatical from work. And I don't see that happening anytime soon. But the reason I'm on here is not really to give, like, a description of my autoimmune disorders, but because I'm feeling the effects that happen with your loved ones. And what happens with your loved ones is that, now, I'm naturally a very social person. I have a lot of friends. I'm very close with my family. And I used to be able to juggle a very big social life. You know, obviously, COVID changed that for a little while. But I was never able to snap back out of it once kind of the restrictions were lifted, because my symptoms were so severe, whether it be because of the COVID and the stress that it put on me, or other things that happened in my life during that time that added stress and probably led to flare-ups. I've essentially canceled a lot of plans with my friends and with my family. And there are two kinds of people who can deal with that. One is the people who understand, who try to understand how I'm feeling and why I am canceling, or why everything is so unpredictable in terms of making plans. And then there are the other people who have no tolerance for it, who just, you know, are like, bye-bye. So I've dealt with that a lot, especially recently. And it hurts like hell, because I've always been, you know, sort of a ride or die, and so have they. And for this to be the reason that I lose friends is so, so sad to me, because I can't control it. I can't control how I'm feeling. I do my best to participate in life and to show up for people still. And, you know, I feel like I do. I just can't predict how I'm feeling to do in-person events. I don't have the energy, because, as you know, adrenal is energy. That's and your thyroid. It's all like bandwidth. And anyone with autoimmune disorders will tell you, who have associated chronic fatigue, will tell you that, you know, any kind of effort that is expended, like whether it be physical or emotional, will knock you back. So let's say, for example, I work on a really intense work deadline. I'm shot, like, for the next day. Or if I have a very stressful situation, like I've dealt with, you know, with, like, I haven't talked about the animal rescue stuff, but I've dealt with some very stressful and emotional situations with that. That will set you back. And when I say set you back, I mean it literally knocks you off your feet and you're in bed. Those are just the dramatic times that happen also, you know, on a regular basis. But even normal things like taking a shower can knock you back. You'll need to, like, sit down for an hour. Getting ready for work, like, oh my God. And all of that I used to do so easily and so well. You know, I was always well-dressed. And I went to yoga. I'll just tell you who I was 2 years ago before COVID. I woke up every morning at 6 o'clock. I was at the yoga studio at 6:40 because I was always the first person there because I like to get my spot. And I practiced yoga from 7 to 8:20 or 8:30. Got ready at the yoga studio, went straight to work at 9, and had a full day of work, meetings, patients, and then afterwards I would make plans with friends, and then I would go home and I'd feel good. I'd watch TV, whatever, and then I'd wake up and do the same thing the next day. and it was no problem. And that went on for 15 years. And in the middle of that, I did a PhD program while working full time, again, with no problem. Because at that point, although I had autoimmune disorders, it was really only vitiligo and thyroid. My thyroid was controlled and my vitiligo was pretty much controlled. I didn't have all these, I didn't have Sjogren's, I didn't have adrenal insufficiency, I didn't have lupus, I didn't have the pain, the chronic pain, and chronic pain alone takes it out of you. When you have pain, when you wake up in the morning, when you can't move your leg and you have to use your hand to pull your right leg up to get out of bed, you know that's severe, and that is me on a daily basis. I still try to do what I used to do. I still try to run. I still try to do yoga, but I'm not the person I was even 6 months ago. For some reason, I got during COVID, I got hip pain and leg pain, and we're not really sure what it's from. It could be from practicing yoga at home on carpet. I have carpet, or it could be just like that the symptoms got worse because of the stress of it all. Or it could be, and I'm forgetful because there was another thing that could have caused the pain. Oh, the ergonomics from working at home, because I work a hybrid schedule. I work partly at home and partly at work, depending on when I have patients or meetings where I have to be at work. So my ergonomics at home are not great. I largely work on the floor, or I work at my kitchen table. I do have a desk, but my chair is not great and the lighting's not great. So mostly I work in the kitchen table, but that's on like a bench, a hard bench. So it's not great. I've been trying to get a chair from work for a long time that is ergonomically safe and appropriate for me, but that hasn't happened. That's a whole nother story. So it could be any of those things that are causing my back, my leg, and my hip pain. And I've done all the diagnostics, all the MRIs, CT scans, etc. And we can't really figure out what it is, although I have some, you know, findings in my MRI that show some problems in my spine and my my spine, like, what is it called? There's arthritis and there's like not a lot of space between my spine. What are those called? I can't think of the name. Anyways, you know, L5, L6, like that in my lumbar. So it could be that causing the pain, but we're not sure. Could be a number of things. But what happens with my friendships is this. As I explained, although they listen and they're very caring and loving and, you know, we've all been through a lot together, I think autoimmune disorders are very, very hard to take in when you can't see anything. Like, I think I would have a hard time too when the other person doesn't see things. I look normal for the most part. I look like myself. So although I've lost hair, not only on my head, but my eyebrows, my eyelashes, but those are not as, you know, noticeable or effective. So other than that, you know, I look kind of the same. So like, I think to really take in what I am suffering with is very, very hard. It's just naturally going to be hard for a person without seeing that. So that's why they always call it the invisible illness and suffering in silence, because it's so hard to impart to the other person what you're going through. It's like someone with cancer who loses their hair and they're in the hospital and they have a bunch of, they're connected with all these leads and, you know, whatever. That makes you compassionate and really see the suffering, but something like this, you can't. So my friends, you know, I have had to cancel plans. It's very unpredictable how I'm going to feel from day to day. So I don't know how I'm going to feel tomorrow. I don't know if I can keep my plans because I don't know if I have the bandwidth tomorrow night to go to dinner. That's just the facts. I'm going to be working a full day and I don't know how I'm going to feel at 6 o'clock. So if I cancel my plans, I just have to. Like, I don't want to, I have to, because otherwise I'll be sleeping at dinner. So that for some people has been okay and others it is not acceptable. And I think when it happens for enough times, they lose interest or they lose the tolerance for it. And maybe they start taking it personally, or maybe they start making up stories that, you know, you're a flake or you're just not interested in them anymore, you know? And so that's happened with a lot of my friends. And it's very, very hurtful. No matter what I say, no matter what I try to explain, it doesn't matter. It's like there's a disconnect. And so that happened with someone tonight. And then I had a situation a couple weeks ago with a very dear friend of mine who there was a misunderstanding over text. And we tried to talk it out and it just led to her completely losing it and saying it's over, our friendship is over, which I still cannot comprehend. But I do feel like it does have to do with my autoimmune disorders, because I feel like what she was trying to point out in me are thing sort of like effects of the medication that I'm on, which make you kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but it does affect your mood. It affects your, you know, moods can be unpredictable also. There's like highs and lows, depending on how you're feeling. So let's say I'm having no pain, I feel great. So I might be in a better mood. And then what if like 2 hours later, I start having excruciating pain in my hips, then I'm upset. And so my mood might've shifted. And to that other person, it seems crazy. It seems like you're moody and you're weird and you're unpredictable. And like I said, histrionic. A lot of people think it's hypochondriasis, which I assure you it is not. Nobody wants to feel this way. I don't have a history of it. And so it's, you know, these are not made up symptoms. Why would anyone want to? So the reason I'm so insistent on getting awareness out there and trying to spread the word is for people to understand when their loved ones have autoimmune disorders, please believe them. Don't dismiss their feelings or what they're saying. Try to listen to them and try to really, really put yourself in their shoes. And even if it's hard to understand or it's something you cannot put yourself in their shoes, just try. And even then, just listen to them and ask them how they're feeling. I would say the biggest thing is ask them how they're feeling. Check in on them with sincerity. Check in on them. Say, how are you feeling today? How are your symptoms? And listen, they will feel so much better. They will feel so heard and seen. And that helps them. That will help their symptoms. Because stress is the number one cause of the flare-ups, basically. Physical or emotional stress. So my friend who basically didn't want to be my friend anymore, I truly believe it was all over this autoimmune shit, because the things she was pointing out were things I think related to my medication, the way I was behaving perhaps, but it really wasn't to me a big deal, but she took it as a very big deal. And that I was, in a sense, disrespecting her and not listening to her and not respecting her boundaries, which I totally understand. And I tried to apologize and I tried to explain, but it wasn't enough. So I take responsibility for that, but I still think it shouldn't have ended a friendship. And that's what's scary to me, because my heart is pure. I've always had good intentions and I'm a very good friend to my friends, and I'm like a ride or die. And I'm also very patient, very tolerant, very forgiving. So I just wish I had the same in return. So, you know, I just wish people understood, like, we're all just doing the best we can given the circumstances, whatever they may be. We're all dealing with different things, you know, and I have to respect other people, you know, who don't have tolerance because they have their own shit. My friend tonight has a kid and recently divorced, and you know, she's got enough shit on her plate, and so maybe she just doesn't have the bandwidth to, well, that is what she said, she doesn't have the bandwidth to deal with the one to constantly initiate trying to make plans and always getting a no on the other end or a maybe on the other end, which I totally get. And I tried to explain it, but she took it that I was attacking her. And, you know, obviously I'm not going to say her name, but she also doesn't listen to my podcast. But I'm not saying anything bad about anybody. I'm trying to just explain to the world or to whoever is listening about autoimmune disorders and the big effects that it can have, pervasive and persistent. So I think, again, the only thing people can do is really just be authentic, be sincere in your intentions, and try to impart that to people that you love, to explain it as best you can, and that's all you can do. Be a good friend to them, and then you hope, you know, to get that in return. So it's sad, and if anyone has any comments or want to talk about this, maybe come on with me another day, be a guest on my show, please let me know. You can always email me, drjennycowan@gmail.com. So I'll end with that, and I'll just say again, ahimsa, do no harm to others, but most importantly, to yourselves. Take care, everyone.